Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante with the first-timer, Zach Saco. Zach, welcome to the show. It's great to have you on.
Hey, thanks for having me, Jim.
Zach is a veteran of the Penn State coverage. Zach, we are excited to have you on, almost as excited as we are about having actual football this week. We get to talk about the game, West Virginia, on Saturday. You've got to be thrilled. Like us, you talk Penn State football all year round. Isn't it nice to talk about an actual game?
Yeah, I think it was a busy summer with all of the recruiting and the ups and downs there, but it's definitely nice to have football games once again.
Definitely it is. Let's start here. We're going to be talking about the game, but you mentioned the offseason, eventful, a lot of things going on. What are your takeaways from the Penn State offseason?
I think it was a roller coaster in terms of recruiting. I thought if we're going all the way back, if we're talking spring football, transfer portal, everything else, I thought they had a relatively quiet offseason because this was an offense that couldn't go anywhere and Drew Aller had so many issues, right? That was the talk around Penn State football. But they didn't exactly make all these wholesale changes, Jim. They went and got Julian Fleming, Nolan Rucci. They made a lot of changes on defense, right? They went out and got two starting caliber corners in Jalen Kimber and AJ Harris. But when it came to the offense particularly, it's not like they brought in a host of wide receivers. They had one wide receiver come in with Julian Fleming, and they had Dante Cephas, Keandre Lambert-Smith, Malik Mega all leave. So for a team that's struggling on offense, wouldn't you think that they need as many wide receivers as they can get? Interesting, isn't it?
It is. One would think so. And it's funny you bring that up. I've always been a supporter of how James Franklin has handled the transfer portal. I think he's been very surgical with his additions. You know, you bring in a Chop Robinson and Arnold Ibikidi. You identify an issue at cornerback and you bring in not one, but two starting caliber cornerbacks. Very good. But as you pointed out, wide receiver seemed to be this gaping hole, and they bring in one guy. And you mentioned several names leaving. You get the sense, and we're not in the locker room every day, so it's hard to tell, but I just keep getting the sense from the way James Franklin addresses it, it almost sounds like there was what they feel is addition by subtraction, that they've changed the tone and the culture of the wide receiver room.
Well, that was just it. Towards the end of the season, there was word that James Franklin and Marcus Hagans were not exactly pleased with Dante Cephas and Keandre Lambert-Smith's production, that they weren't pleased with leadership either. So it was not only the fact of, okay, well, you're not really performing on the football field, but it takes it a step further of, we need true leaders within this group. Trey Wallace was banged up, came back for the bowl game, right? But you needed him when it mattered most. An Ohio State in a Michigan game, and he wasn't there when you needed him. And that's not, you know, injuries happen. I'm not trying to blame him. I'm just saying a wide receiver core that just never was going to live up to expectations because of key injuries, availability, unavailability, and then just a lack of overall leadership and maturity. And you get that all in one with Julian Fleming. You're going to get now somebody that is a leader by example, a leader vocally. I know he's not a captain, but he's essentially going to act as a captain in this case. And don't expect him to, like, I guess, pad the box score, if you will, but he'll help in other ways. He was a really good run blocker, so criticisms early in the season. Nicholas Singleton, Catron Allen, right? Couldn't break the explosive plays. Well, Julian Fleming blocking on the outside will help with that.
Yes, that's the indication that you get is that's the type of leader that Julian Fleming will be. I like the way you put it, not fill up the box score. And in fact, James Franklin kept using the word solid to describe his performance. The one other note before we get started talking about the game, speaking of the wide receivers, were you all at all surprised when James Franklin said, oh, two receivers separating themselves? One of them, Trey Wallace, not a surprise there. The second one, Liam Clifford. Catch you off guard at all?
No, Liam Clifford's been around for a while, and I think what him and Sean, his older brother, have above all else is work ethic. And Liam was very good in high school, but I think there needed to be that development process for him. We're still kind of in a situation, Jim, where the wide receivers aren't exactly wowing anybody. It was the same conversation last season, unfortunately, where he kept saying Keandre Lambert-Smith and Trey Wallace are ahead of the group, but that's not saying much. And it's kind of the similar tone, similar dialect from 2023 to 2024. But again, the big difference is Andy Kotelnicki. You don't need the wide receivers to all be Hall of Fame caliber to get this offense to go. And that's why Mike Yurcich was let go and Andy Kotelnicki was brought in. You can do things to maximize your assets. You have a five-star quarterback in Drew Aller who is an NFL caliber talent, might even be selected in the top five depending on what kind of season he has. That's a fact. It depends on the season. Singleton, Allen, coveted running backs not too long ago and very talented ones at that. Tyler Warren is an NFL caliber player. You have Bo Prabula that's sitting on the bench as a dual threat that you can bring in and just get creative with. And Mike Yurcich did not use those assets properly, whereas Andy Kotelnicki should and will.
Let's talk about Andy Kotelnicki a bit here, because that's one of the big changes, both offense and defense with new coordinators. Andy, what can Andy Kotelnicki do specifically to help out the wide receivers?
I mean, you can scheme a lot of things. You can scheme wide receivers open. You can move guys all around. He was the offensive coordinator Kansas used in terms of the most pre-snap motion, meaning guys were moving across the formation, plays were shifting, formations were changing, all before the snap clock, the play clock expired. So you're going to see Clifford go in motion. You'll see Julian Fleming do whatever, right? Just get guys moving, and it causes confusion on the defense to say, okay, we saw this alignment at first, but are they flipping the play? Are they changing the play? What exactly are they doing here? And in football, there's so every millisecond counts. I don't need to explain that to everybody. Everybody understands that. But my point is that if the defense is off by a fraction with the communication, and that's the thing. So Penn State's going to move in real time. That communication on the defensive side of things are delayed. So if a linebacker says, hey, I got him, and then a safety says, no, I got him, boom, Penn State snaps the football. The play's starting. Who's got who? Who's in what assignment? So you have to be so disciplined as a defense to keep up with that pre-snap motion and that misdirection. And then the ball actually moves. And who's it going to? Is it going to that wide receiver in motion? Is it a fake to him and then given to Singleton or Allen, for example, right? So that's a very first grade level of, hey, where's the football going, point A or point B? But Andy Kotelnicki starts with that, and then it can branch into so many different things. So the wide receivers, again, don't have to be superstars at the end of the day. Andy Kotelnicki can use the assets that he has along with just play essentially 3D, 4D chess of football.
And it, as you pointed out, it doesn't take much hesitation on the defense's part to open up a receiver. So that's good news. All right, let's shift gears. Let's talk. We've got a game coming up on Saturday with West Virginia. Let's start with this. It's not unusual now over the past several years for Penn State to face a team on the road in their opener with a pulse, okay? We saw that, you know, against Wisconsin a couple of years ago, even against Purdue a couple of years ago. And the common thread was Penn State struggled a bit. They came away with wins against those two teams I mentioned, but it wasn't easy. Now you have that same kind of thing going on the road to West Virginia, a team with a pulse. They finished the season very well last year and have a lot of high hopes going into this. What's your concern going into this game?
I mean, it's a road game to open up week one against a physical team, a team that returns quite a bit of talent. They did bring in assets from the transfer portal that are going to help them. I don't think West Virginia's a complete pushover. I think they benefit. They benefited from easier Big 12 competition last year, so everybody will look at that not you know, the 9-3, 9-4 team and say, okay, that they were really good and they're going to be a lead and they're a college football playoff contender. That's not what this West Virginia team is. We can be somewhere in the middle that they're better than they were a season ago, but they're awfully identical. And so is Penn State. And my original point in the offseason about this hypothetical game was that Penn State is still built to handle a team like West Virginia. So do I think West Virginia is going to cause issues and make it difficult and be physical, right? Yes, but Penn State's used to that kind of caliber football. It is in Morgantown. You're installing, you know, changes on the offense, changes on the defense. Although West Virginia's defense isn't elite by any measure, I think the offense is something to just be aware of. Garrett Green is a dual threat. They have two very capable running backs in Jaheim White and C.J. Donaldson. I mean, this team, West Virginia is no pushover by any stretch of the imagination.
No, they're not. And you pointed out, you know, the two returning running backs plus Garrett Green. They have three different guys on this roster returning who rushed for over, 750 yards last year. Mm-hmm. If I'm West Virginia, I'm thinking I want to shorten this game, use my running backs, my quarterback who's a dual threat, and possess the ball as much as possible and keep it away from Penn State. Shorten the game. That's how you win this game if you're West Virginia.
I don't know. I used to be in that same boat, too, that West Virginia needs to chew as much clock as they need to. It honestly might be on Penn State side of things. West Virginia is good offensively. They have big play capability because of Garrett Green, and that commitment to the ground game opens up a lot of things in the passing game. So if West Virginia is able to get 5, 6, 7 yards pretty consistently behind Garrett Green, C.J. Donaldson, or Jaheim White, again, all three rushers that you mentioned had over 700 yards a season ago, that opens up play action and deep passes. Garrett Green was the quarterback to attempt the most deep passes a season ago. So you have to, I think West Virginia truly believes that they can try to get into a shootout with Penn State. Penn State might want to go in a game with a game plan where they shorten the game because of how physical it's going to be. You don't want to take as many hits defensively because eventually you bend, eventually you'll break.
All right, Zach, very good analysis. That's it for this segment. We got one more to go with, Zach. Stay tuned for that.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante, along with our newbie, Zach Saco. Zach, great to have you on the show. We talked a little bit about Penn State's offseason, especially the wide receivers. Go figure. That's been a topic of conversation, I think, for everybody during the offseason. Now we're talking about the West Virginia game coming up this weekend, Saturday at noon. It's the Fox Big Noon game. And we were talking about the fact that this is Penn State's first game and it's on the road, but it's also the first game with new coordinators on both offense and defense. Let's stay on the offense a little bit. You mentioned Andy Kotelnicki. What do you expect to see from him specifically? And also, any concerns that this is his first shot with Penn State, with Andy Kotelnicki as the OC? Any concerns there just because it's the first shot at it?
I think you're always just going to have that delay Penn State's offense isn't going to be clicking and firing on all cylinders, because there is going to be that transition of, you have things that are just some elements of the base of the game plan. I'm not saying that they're going to run a Mike Yurcich playbook type, but you still have to bring over those things, and then you fully transition to an Andy Kotelnicki system. All the nuances, all the little things, that will come in due time by facing live action. So we're not going to see 110% of the Penn State offense. We're not going to see the best version of it. You can expect that probably around USC. I think that's a fair time, because USC's defense isn't great. So I can see if there's almost a coming out party for Penn State's offense when they play the Trojans in Southern California. But against West Virginia, what everybody cares about, I think Penn State's still going to rather run a pretty simple game plan. You have Nicholas Singleton and Catron Allen, and West Virginia's defensive line front seven isn't that great. So Penn State can realistically win this game behind those two running backs. You're also going to see Drew Aller run the football more. Drew Aller's not a statue. Drew Aller is not slow. Drew Aller can move and run the football. And when James Franklin and Andy Kotelnicki say, hey, people are going to be surprised by the things that Drew Aller can do, what they're alluding to is, yes, his arm talent, but we know about the arm talent. It's his running ability. And is he Lamar Jackson at Louisville? No, he's not. I'm not trying to defend that. But to keep defenses honest, a quarterback draw here and there, an option read, they're going to be able to use Aller as a runner in the offense itself, and West Virginia is probably not actively preparing for that. Oh, and then you have Bo Prabula that can come off the bench and do the same thing, but even better. So you have four capable runners that West Virginia's got. So you're going to see a lot of ground and pound in week one against West Virginia on Penn State's side of things.
Zach, I am so glad to hear you say that about Drew Aller. I've said it 1,000 times. If you're going to run a read option play where one of the options is for the quarterback to keep the ball and run with it, well, you got to do that at least once in a while. I swear I remember that one time that happening in all of last season. And oh, by the way, Drew Aller got a first down, Zach. So just show that you're willing to do it. That'll take some heat off the running backs. Who are your primary options? Yes, I'd rather see Nick Singleton run it than Drew Aller, but at least have him be a threat to do it. You also let's talk about Drew Aller a little bit more, because Penn State's offense, we have a lot of confidence in the running backs, two premier running backs, but it's that passing game. Three elements to it: the wide receivers, the quarterback, the offensive coordinator. And it seems like Drew Aller, depends on who you talk to, he's either, as you described, a top five potential draft pick next year, or he can't get it done. What's your take on Drew Aller and what he needs to improve on this season?
I think it's still confidence. He seems more confident. He sounds more confident when you actually talk to him or interview him. But it's being able to have a short-term memory. You're going to make mistakes, but you can't allow that to snowball. And I think that's what he's acknowledged here, because one bad play can't turn into a bad drive, can't turn into a bad half, can't turn into a bad game. Drew's 20 years old. He was a 19-year-old starting quarterback, and I know that was his second year of college football. Drew Aller also hasn't been playing quarterback his entire life, and I'm not trying to make excuses. But what that means is that experience is still going to gradually happen as you become, as you, all the elements he, okay, so he's been throwing a football competitively this way since the early part of his high school career. And look how far he has gone in 5-6 years. It's not like he was playing quarterback, you know, peewee. Just those things can help. So he hasn't been playing quarterback for all of his life. But that gradual progression, how much better he gets, and the training that he goes through, the talent is there. He just has to be able to put it all together upstairs. And I think he's there. I don't think he doesn't need to be a Trace McSorley or a Sean Clifford type. And he's not going to be, where it's this overly vocal, aggressive. Like, he's going to be a lead by example kind of guy, and that's just it. The intel is that he works nonstop, 24/7. So when you think you're finished with practice and everything, Drew Aller keeps going, just keeps going behind the scenes. And that's where he's going to set himself apart rather than being this overly vocal, this loud, the Trace McSorley type where you'll run through a brick wall. He's going to be able to lead people by saying, you know, hey, let's do this together. And here, let me lead by example.
I think you hit it. It really is just a question of some confidence. He has a big time arm. Let's see him use it. And hopefully Andy Kotelnicki will open that up for him, get him some open receivers and also that confidence, you know, going into it. Because as you mentioned, there's a lot of weapons there, Zach. I like that you met the both running backs, the tight end. Those are exceptional players. And Trey Wallace, and this has not, my opinion of him has not changed in probably 2 years. He's the one guy in that wide receiver room who could be an authentic, legitimate number one receiver.
Yeah, I mean, again, you don't have to overly rely on the wide receivers. And that's kind of what Mike Yurcich's offense turned into. Nicholas Singleton and Catron Allen can be just as effective in the receiving game as they are in the running game. You get them to motion out into the slot. You get the right Nicholas Singleton on a linebacker. Are you kidding me? That's a mismatch every single time. Tyler Warren is an NFL talent. I think Trey Wallace eventually will be a true NFL talent, but he needs to complete it, you know, go through a full season and everything else.
And again, you point out Nick Singleton, he's a mismatch waiting to happen. So is Tyler Warren. He's a mismatch waiting to happen. All right, let's talk real quick about the other side of the ball on defense with Tom Allen going into this game. He's taking over a lot of talent on the defense. Having coached at Indiana, he must be like a kid in a candy store with these kind of athletes that he has on this Penn State defense. You look for much change in Penn State's defense this year from last year?
A little bit. I think you'll see a lot more defensive backs on the football field. They'll have a 4-2-5 base because they're pretty limited at linebacker, but they got a lot of talented cornerbacks and safeties. KJ Winston is a future first round pick. Jalen Reed is an NFL caliber talent. The light switch has flipped on for Zaki Wheatley. They're going to start three safeties and play five defensive backs pretty consistently. Now, against the West Virginia and Illinois and Minnesota team, you might see more linebackers on the field to account for that ground game. But KJ Winston and Jalen Reed are pretty good against the run as safeties. And then you bring in AJ Harris, Jalen Kimber to go along with what you have in Cam Miller, Audavian Collins, Zion Tracy, Elliott Washington. Like, this is a really good secondary that they have to work with. And Tom Allen has admitted that he's just happy to get back to basics and coach football and coach defense and not be worried about everything else.
Last defensive question. Abdul Carter, linebacker to defensive end. Mm-hmm. Do you think it'll take him time to adjust to the position? We know he's got all the tools for it.
Just some little nuances and stuff. I don't think he'll be totally, he's not going to be phased out of the game. It's just you move him from his, so he gets closer to the point of the attack. He was already a stand-up pass rusher, as you will, as it was. That's what he was doing at that linebacker spot. He'd drop into coverage periodically, but now he gets to rush the quarterback full time. He's added the weight. He still moves the same. So imagine blocking Abdul Carter at 6'4", 260 plus pounds when he can still move at that 4.4 speed. That's a recipe for disaster if you're a left tackle. So I'll keep it at that.
And just remember, if you emphasize him, oh, by the way, there's a guy named Deni Dennis Sutton on the other side. That's going to be fun to watch. And just to add to the whole thing, they return their whole defensive tackle room essentially. Yes. That did a nice job last year. So that's going to also be a very good defensive line, Zach.
Overall, I think it'll be great.
All right. We've got a couple minutes left. We came to this time where what I need from you, Zach, we need a prediction for this game against West Virginia and a Keystone Kickoff Show tradition. We also need a bold prediction from you. Your first time ever with the bold prediction. What do you got?
Well, I'll go with Penn State over West Virginia, 31-24. I think there's more scoring in this game. West Virginia's defense is still okay, but their offense is actually better than people are giving them credit for. It's in Morgantown. I like 31-24. Penn State's able to get the win, but I think it's going to be within that 10-point frame that people gave. As far as a bowl prediction, I think I want to go and look towards the outlook of the season. I don't know that I have a bold prediction in this game outside of maybe Singleton and Allen each have 100 yards. I think that their Penn State's rush offense is going to be able to have a field day with this West Virginia defense. But I think Bo Prabula is going to be used more in this offense as a whole. And eventually that's going to translate into opportunity. So Bo had 6 touchdowns, which was tied for Catron Allen a season ago. And he was used in a part-time position. If he plays more, which he will, I think he could lead the team in rushing touchdowns as the backup quarterback, crazy enough.
Wow. That, you know what? You came on fire, Zach, for a first bold prediction. I love that one. That is bold. What's interesting is your prediction for this game, 100 yards rushing for both Catron Allen and Nick Singleton. You kind of went down my same path because my prediction for the season was them each getting 1,000 yards rushing on the season. And for this specific game, I said they each account for 100 yards, but I allowed for receiving yardage there too. I think if you have weapons like that, Zach, you got to use them, don't you?
Absolutely.
All right, Zach, that is going to be it for our show, your first appearance. You were fantastic, Zach. I appreciate you coming in. You were great. But we are not done yet. We have coming in Sean Gold. He has his picks against the spread for week 1 of college football. Stay tuned for that.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership, with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante, and making his return to the show, it's Sean Gold. Sean, how are you doing, my friend? It's been way, way too long.
Jim, it's been a while. It has been too long. Thank you for having me back for another season, and I cannot wait to get going with the college football picks. And once again, complete our mission. Make some people some money this season.
Exactly. I love having you on. Just for having you on, Sean, so we could talk, do the stuff we have a lot of fun with, but it also means that football is back. So that's the exciting part. For those of you who haven't heard us together last year, this is Sean's take. Sean gives us some great picks with the spreads. Like you said, going to make us some money. Before we get into it, Sean, I just got to tell you this. How did it work out last year? Well, a week ago, I was out golfing with my buddy Craig. We were talking about the show, and he goes, by the way, you're going to have Sean back on this year. He made me some money last year. Craig, don't worry. Don't worry. Sean is coming back on. Not only that, but we're going to have Sean on for 2 segments a week. We're going to do 6 picks this year. We'll call it our 6-pack. So we'll get even more picks from Sean this year. So I hope you're ready for that, Sean.
Oh, I am. And Craig, I hope you're ready to listen, because I think last year too, we started a little bit later, so we didn't have the full season. And now we're starting ready for week 1, and I'm excited to get it going. It's going to be a lot of fun, Jim.
It definitely will be. Before we get going, it's been a long off season, long summer. You graduated school. A lot smarter than the rest of us guys. You're an Ivy Leaguer, a Yaley. So, but what have you been up to? What's been the news from Sean?
Yeah, so graduated, traveled a little bit, and then kind of got into the job hunt. And luckily enough, got a great opportunity with a startup sports betting company called Wanna Parlay, actually. So that fits perfectly into, you know, the work we're doing here on the show. And Wanna Parlay is getting ready to launch. So sports bettors out there, we've got an exciting new platform for you. It's the only place you can turn a $2 entry into a $2,000 first place prize, making your favorite parlays every single week. So check us out at wannaparlay.com. And as always, if you guys have questions about Wanna Parlay, about Sean's Take, about anything we have to offer, shoot me a message on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, at Sean's Take. I'll be happy to answer your questions.
That's fantastic. And that's Wanna Parlay, W-A-N-N-A. W-A-N-N-A parlay.com if you want to bring it up. It's or you get, there's an app for it too, correct?
Yep, yep. All through the app. We got the website and then it'll take you to the app, and that's where you can really get into the games.
Fantastic. It sounds great. Before we get started with our week one picks, as you said, this not quite the start of the season, Sean. We had a couple of week zero games. There was only one game I was concerned about, Florida State, Georgia Tech. And I got to tell you why I brought it up. I had Georgia Tech.
I like that. I like that. And you know what? That was a great, great read on that game. And man, they went and capitalized on that.
They really did. The only thing I regret, and this is the hindsight from a gambler, I took the points. I didn't take the money line, but hey, I'll take the win. I just thought 10.5 points. I thought people were overreacting. Florida State was very good last year, but you know that I think people overreact to last season and overestimate that when they make these kind of wagers the following season.
I completely agree. And you know what? They had so much turnover on that roster, not just, you know, Jordan Travis leaving. And DJ's a great quarterback too. And I know him personally, and I'm super excited for him at FSU, but that roster just is not the same roster that it was last year. And also, Georgia Tech, new coach, I think last season when it was his first season under the job, he's building something there. And I really think that Georgia Tech is going to be able to get back to a very respectable level and be kind of a player in college football. And this might have been their debut on, hey, we're coming back, and we're coming back better than what you've seen the past, you know, 5-6 years from us.
It really was a bit of a coming out party, and I like that quarterback at Georgia Tech. I just get the impression he's a winner. He'll find a way to beat you, and the fact that he's a dual threat, that's dangerous.
Completely agree. In college football today especially, just having a dual threat guy there adds so much to your offense. You're more dynamic, and you know you always want to air it out, but we've seen dual threat quarterbacks succeed time and time again, and it really is the present and even more so the future of college football and the NFL for that matter too. Everybody wants to be as dynamic as possible. And yeah, Georgia Tech got the right guy there right now.
A little later, our last pick of the six is going to be Penn State at West Virginia. I think there's some similarities between that quarterback and what Penn State is facing with West Virginia. But without further ado, Sean, let's get into our picks for this year, this week rather, for week one. It's a great schedule for week one, several really interesting games. And we're going to start with Clemson and Georgia. They are playing in Atlanta. And what's really fascinating to me is these games that are between conferences. We have Clemson representing the ACC, maybe the best team in the ACC, or at least at the top. Georgia, probably the top of the Southeast Conference. This isn't just about the two teams that are playing. You're kind of carrying the water for your conference also in this kind of game. And we have Georgia as a 13.5-point favorite at a quote-unquote neutral field in Atlanta.
No college football playoffs last year for Georgia, and I think that is still upsetting them right now. So, you know, I haven't made a firm prediction on who I think is going to win it all, but Georgia is definitely one of those teams that has a couple of circles on my list of teams that I think are really good enough and really should win the college football playoffs this year. Clemson, I'm just not sold on them. I wasn't sold on them last year. They had a bit of a rocky season. Maybe they're a little bit better this year, but I just think that Georgia is too big of a beast right now. And they've got a big chip on their shoulder from last year as well. So I'm going Georgia with the points, minus 13.5. I'm really not scared of two touchdowns in this game. Typically, you know, you would wish that it was maybe a touchdown and a field goal at that 9.5 type of number. 13.5, I'm not worried at all. These Georgia Bulldogs are going to want to show in week one against a strong opponent that they're not messing around this year and they're coming for everybody. And every single game, they want to be a blowout.
I really like that pick too, Sean, for all the reasons you brought up. And this is the difference between the top of the Southeast Conference and the top of the ACC. And it's a message kind of game early with they'll get a great national audience for it. And I think Clemson is living off the reputation from a few years back yet. And Georgia is for real. And not only do you have Georgia, you know, for real, coming off a really good season, but as you mentioned, a chip on their shoulder. It's not like, oh, they'll be a letdown after winning a national championship. Their pedigree, they've got the quarterback. I'm with you on Georgia. I do like that it's 13.5 points as we're recording this, and it's not 14 or more. I know, you know, it's not unusual for that half point away from like 7 or 14 or 10. I like that it's 13.5 and not 14.5. But we agree on that pick with Georgia over Clemson. All right, next up, let's stick with this ACC versus the Southeast Conference. And that's Miami is at Florida. Florida is getting 2.5 points at home. And this is one of those, again, this time it's Miami near the top of the ACC pecking order. And Florida, boy, especially after adding Oklahoma and Texas, they're probably considered somewhere in the middle of the Southeast Conference.
Yeah, look, this game is a great week one matchup. It's going to be messy. It's going to be some hard-nosed football. I don't think it's always going to be the prettiest, and it's going to be a great game. And I'm bringing in some new information to us this time around. Last season, you know, I had my resources. This season, we took a step up. So I'm going to read you something right now. 61% of the bets came in on Florida to cover the spread, but 87% of the money is on Florida to cover the spread. And that's all coming right when this line opened up, which basically means, listeners, that a lot of big time bettors are putting some heavy money down on the Florida Gators to cover the spread. You always like to see a big betting split there. So we'd be concerned if 80% of the bets were on Miami and 40% of the money, because that means you got a lot of people betting and not a lot of money coming in. So there's big time money coming in on the Florida Gators at home in week one. And I have to say, I completely agree with that. If there's one place maybe in college football I don't want to play in week one, it's Gainesville, Florida. If this was week three and Miami was the better team, I wouldn't be too concerned about this. But week one, that stadium is going to be rocking. The swamp is going to be full. And I'm taking the Florida Gators plus 2.5. I think they may outright win this game.
Again, I hate to do this, Sean, but I guess there's a consistency to it. People, I'm agreeing with you again here. A lot of the reasons, that's a great little factoid you brought up. But I also look at this. I think the expectation level for Florida after the kind of season they had last year, it lowered the bar on them. Miami, it seems like they're everybody's darling year after year. You know, the Canes are back. The U is back. Boy, I'm just not sure. I'm thinking with these two games, I think the ACC is going to get smacked around. And after this loss, I know it was Georgia Tech was an ACC member also in beating Florida State. But if Miami goes down and Clemson goes down and Florida State goes down, the three water carriers for the ACC might be a combined 0-3 after their first game, Sean.
Completely agree with that.
And I just think that could very well happen. And it's not just then what happens to those individual teams, but also the whole conference at the end of the year when they start looking at tiebreakers for somebody to make the playoffs. The ACC is not going to be in a very good position if all their top teams are losing these out-of-conference games to the Southeast Conference. Plus, is it not also Billy Napier? He's coaching for his job, is he not?
He is, and this is a very important tone-setting type of game. And, you know, I like the Florida Gators to deliver for us.
I do, too. At home, you know, I always say the thing with this opener is everybody's undefeated. Everybody comes into it with that feeling really good. You know, that's going to be a little bit of the theme here. Those teams, like when we talk about Penn State, West Virginia playing at home, they're going to feel, hey, they're undefeated. They're going to feel pretty good about themselves, thinking that they can do anything. If Florida's going to have a shot this year at making the playoffs or perhaps even a good record, let alone a great record, it would start with a win over Miami. All right, that's it for our first segment. We got more to go with Sean right after this.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Sean Gold from Sean's Take. Sean is the one who last year gave us so many great picks against the spread. If you were following him last year, if you followed his lead, did what he told you to do, you made some money. That's the goal again this year. We are going to do a six-pack of picks every week, and we'll get you started. Last segment, Sean took Georgia, a 13.5 point favorite. He took Georgia over Clemson. Florida, a 2.5 point underdog at home against Miami. He took the Gators, and I have to say, Sean, right off the bat, I'm agreeing with you on both those picks. I think they're great picks. Georgia is really, really good with a chip on their shoulder. Florida, boy, their coach is coaching for his job. He's a lot of pressure on him, and what a way to start it would be if they could beat a rival Miami at home. The fans would be just over the top with that. So, ready to go for our next set of games?
Let's get to it.
All right. Here's an interesting one. And again, not a conference game. It's Independent Notre Dame at Texas A&M. Notre Dame, just a unique set of circumstances as an independent in this new world with 12 playoff teams. They are at Texas A&M. They are part of this new Southeast Conference with the addition of their old friends from the Big 12, Oklahoma and Texas. Texas A&M, a 2.5-point favorite.
You know, I think Texas A&M is a really hard stadium to play in week one of a college football season. And we talked about it on the last segment. A lot of people kind of have Miami as that darling team, and Notre Dame tries to take that title every single year, and I'm kind of sick and tired of this whole independent conference thing. I'm over Notre Dame. I think they're overrated, and I think Texas A&M at home is going to show them that, and I think Texas A&M covers this spread. My only concern here is I think Notre Dame might be the more physical team, but I like A&M's offense more, and as long as they can get some big chunk plays and put up some points, I don't think Notre Dame's offense is going to match that. So I hope A&M brings the physicality, because we know that's what Notre Dame football is going to be this year. They're going to be physical. They're going to try to bully you. And as long as A&M doesn't let them do that, and if they can match them at the line of scrimmage, I think A&M can run away with this game and make this more than that 2.5. So give me Texas A&M with the spread here.
I think I'm with you also. And my heart is always, you know, with Penn State and whoever's playing Notre Dame. Okay. That's just the reality of it, Sean. But with this, again, it's the Southeast Conference versus Notre Dame, the independent. But what we have going on here also is with the 12-team playoff, a lot of pundits, a lot of folks are just talking about how the regular season is not nearly as important as it used to be. I'm saying it's just the opposite, because there's 12 openings. There's more teams. Let's face it, realistically, if it were a four-team playoff, I'm not sure either Notre Dame or Texas A&M would be a viable option. Agreed?
I completely agree with that. Both of them could have phenomenal seasons, but they're not cracking that top four.
Right. but they both have a shot at a top 12 finish. But I think whoever loses this game, they're out. They're not making the playoffs, Sean, are they?
No, I kind of agree with that. And they would have to have very, very impressive seasons from, you know, week two on. But we know, like, for Texas A&M especially, they don't have an easy schedule. And there's games that we can, you know, pretty confidently say they're going to drop a couple. So beating Notre Dame is huge for them, and vice versa too. Like, Notre Dame needs to prove themselves. Being an independent with such a Big Ten that's stacked, an SEC that's stacked, like, you need big time wins. And this is a big time win for Notre Dame if they can get it. But I think Texas A&M, you know, as we said, gets the best of them.
And Texas A&M, I think in the Southeast Conference, their schedule, I'm not sure it's as nasty as some of the other teams, but they still have Florida, Missouri, LSU, and Texas on their schedule. Now, there's a couple losses in there, I think, for Texas A&M. And if Notre Dame loses to a Texas A&M team that's not a playoff team, what does that say when you start again to do those tiebreakers in the playoffs? I'm with you, though. I think Texas A&M, but it's a huge game for both these teams. Just a huge game.
It is.
All right. We're going to continue that theme, Sean, of different conferences playing each other. And that's Southeast Conference LSU versus the Big Ten.
Newly acquired.
Yes. Carrying the Big Ten banner is USC, which is just kind of crazy. But again, these are two teams that I think they may think of themselves as playoff teams. They're like on that cusp. So guess what? This becomes a really important game for them. It's being played in Las Vegas, and LSU is a 4.5-point favorite over USC. Who do you have in this one?
Jim, I am genuinely so excited about this game. And like you said, the game's in Vegas. Both of these fan bases are going to travel. So I think you're going to see a pretty even split. LSU travels well. USC going to Vegas, they'll travel well for this. And it's one of the most interesting matchups we have in week one, because both teams, number one and number two picks in the NFL draft, were from both of these schools. Both of their quarterbacks were the two best players in college football last year, get drafted one and two in the NFL. And now you're entering these new eras. And what I got to say is I like what we saw from Miller Moss out of USC in last year's bowl game. He took the reins from Caleb Williams and he ran with it. They trust him and they gave him that starting job. And also, I don't think the defense can be as bad as it was last season. There's two key transfers I really like for USC. They got Easton Mascarenhas, a linebacker, and Akili Arnold, a safety. I played with both of them in high school. Both phenomenal people, phenomenal players. And they're going to set a new tone on this USC defense. And I think that's going to be the difference in this game. So give me the Trojans to cover the spread. I think USC has a very good shot at winning this game outright. And I'm looking forward to watching this new era in USC.
Wow. We finally found one that we disagree on here, Sean. And I don't have strong feelings one way or the other. But when it comes down to it, the defense was so bad last year. You're right. It has to be better, right? It has to be. But how much better will it be? And LSU, we talked about some of these games. Again, once LSU gets into conference play, they have Ole Miss, they have Texas A&M, they have Alabama, they have Florida, they have Oklahoma. This game is so important to LSU to have even a shot at making the playoffs. I think this is critical for LSU. I think, and again, it's a Southeast Conference. There's just a different type of animal when you're playing a physical Southeast Conference type of team. I'm not sure if USC is ready for that. I probably, as a Big Ten fan of Penn State, I should be rooting for USC, but I don't think it's going to happen. I think this one is LSU. But that's why they play the game, Sean. But it's going to be a fun game. I think it's going to be a great game. And as you mentioned, it's in Las Vegas. Both teams will probably travel well. Should be a good crowd both ways. All right. It would not be Sean's take if we didn't talk about Colorado. North Dakota State, very good lower level team. They're going to be at Colorado. Colorado favored by 9.5. What do you think?
Oh, Jim, it feels good again. We're talking about these Colorado Buffaloes. Wow, we had them almost every single week last season. And we predicted a lot of big time upsets that they pulled off. And then they kind of, the wheels fell off towards the end of the season. And there was no question about that. It was interesting. This line opened at about 7 points. It's up to that 9.5 number, like you said. So already jumped up 2.5 points. I don't love the point total jumping that much right now. But what I do love is Shedeur Sanders at quarterback. Realistically, in this game, we're probably watching the number one pick in the NFL draft next year. I don't think people realize the intangibles that he has at the quarterback position are things that are very hard to coach. He reads the field well. He can make every throw. And I think he would have had a heck of a lot better of a year last year if his offensive line was competent. They got some transfers. That's the question mark we're waiting to get an answer to. Is the offensive line going to be better, and can the defense improve? They attacked both of those areas in the portal. I'm hoping they got improvements. But regardless, I think Colorado understands that there's such a spotlight on them and a lot of negative light on them after how they started last season compared to how they finished. And I think this is such an important game for their narrative, for their standings, for their chance of, you know, getting to a respectable bowl game this year. So I'm going to take Colorado 9.5. I don't love that number, but I do think Shedeur Sanders, Travis Hunter, they have an explosive enough offense to get a couple of, you know, 40 plus yard touchdowns. Maybe they break a couple away and that can open up a game like this. And you know what? Give me a little bit of time, offensive line. Let Shedeur get 2.5 seconds and he'll pick apart a defense. And Colorado secondary, please just do not get beat over the top in this game.
You know, I love this game. I hate having to pick it, so I'm not going to. Okay. not going to do it. I'm going to move right on to the next one, our final game. Penn State at West Virginia. Penn State is an 8.5 point favorite. I think that's down a couple of points from where it opened several weeks ago. What do you think about the Nittany Lions?
Yeah, you know, this is the same week one matchup as last year, except Penn State is now on the road in this game. And it was a great game last year. Penn State had control of that one, though. And I know, they did cover the spread in this game. I'm a little bit worried this season, Jim. And I hate to say this on the radio. I hate to come on to your show and have to say this, but Penn State scares me a little bit. I know the defense is going to be good. I know they're going to be able to run the ball. I'm worried about the quarterback position, and I'm worried about the receiver position. And I don't know if Penn State can have an explosive enough offense to really take them to the next level this year. I think they're going to win this game, but I'm going to take West Virginia to cover the spread. I think this game, unfortunately, is going to be closer than I would like to see, because I just don't trust Penn State to be able to air it out. And in this era of college football, I want to see teams air it out, and I just don't know if Penn State can do that.
And thus marks the final appearance of Sean Gold on our show. I think ultimately I'm going to take the Nittany Lions, of course, but I think it's because ultimately that talent will win out, and there are so many stars across the field on both sides for Penn State that ultimately that will carry the load. But it does scare me, Sean. It does scare me. All right, that's it for our show. Thank you, Sean. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.